Now, the message this evening is based upon the text we find in Luke 2 and verses 13 to 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Goodwill toward men. And the subject for us, just for a few moments this evening, is God's goodwill. God's goodwill. We have before us this evening a most positive statement about God's purposes this evening. It provides us also an insight into an aspect of God's wonderful character, who he is. Now, in dealing with this statement this evening, I want to address four questions that I think arise probably in our minds. What can we know about the character of God? What can we know about what God did here in the incarnation, that is, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a man? What can we know about what God did after the incarnation? But also, what can we know about God in the here and in the now? It's a very important question for us. So first of all, then, the first question is, what can we know about who God is and what he is like, his character? Well, if I was to go into Ashford or any other town on a busy Saturday morning and ask a number of people, what do they know about God? What is he like? And obviously I would get many different answers. And these answers I would be given would be an assessment of their own current understanding and knowledge of God. So we might have an answer like, I don't believe in God. Or God is so distant from me. How can I know God exists? God to me is a harsh judge. I cannot believe in a God of love in a world of hate. Some might say, how can God be in control while the world is in turmoil and terror? Others who have suffered loss, perhaps bereavement and hardship and trial, and are struggling in poverty, may say, how can I believe, and I struggle to believe, in a God who cares? Others might say, well, there may be a God, or there might not be a God. I sit on the fence. I'm an agnostic. Some might say, I do acknowledge God, but not in a way that's going to hinder my lifestyle or hinder my decision-making. I once spoke to a lady who said to me that actually she did believe in God, but only to vent her feelings. When she did the ironing, he was like a punch bag, and she would unburden everything and all her anger and frustration at God. And that's how she viewed her relationship with God. The point is, there are many views about God. But what are these views based upon? That's the issue, really. How do we arrive at our assessment of God? And this is a very important point for us to consider this evening, because our views of God are moulded by our knowledge of him. What can we know about the character of God? And so it is a very fair question for you this evening to say, well, what does a Christian base their belief upon? What is your belief in God based upon as a Christian? Now, that's a very fair question. And it's a question that needs to be answered honestly and properly, because here we're speaking about a God who has goodwill toward men, a God who is gracious. Well, how does a Christian know about God? What is our knowledge based upon? Well, the first principle you must answer is this. A Christian is a person who believes in God by faith. We must can never take this away, because we believe in God by faith, by faith. And the second principle to remember about what a Christian knows about God is that a Christian is a person who has the very highest view of God. And so it is not God, as it were, who is in the dock to be questioned, but rather he is our authority. You see, mostly people get this the wrong way around. It's like they are the judge and God is in the dock and they question God and they examine God and they assess God in their own limited understanding. Whereas a Christian does the reverse and says, actually, God is almighty. God is holy. God is our authority. And I humble myself before God. And I want to know God by faith and in humility. So the whole approach is important. So here are some of the basic principles then which inspire and ensure Christian knowledge of God. Things which inspire and assure Christians by faith in knowing God. A Christian believes by faith in what God has revealed about himself. So, for example, a Christian believes by faith in creation. And they view the wonders of God's creation as God's design, as God's work. But they do so by faith. By faith they understand that the world was created by God. And then a Christian believes by faith in what God has revealed about himself in the conscience. We all have a conscience. That is the moral being of a person as viewed as evidence of God's law within us, God's moral standard. For we all make judgments, don't we? Either accusing one another or excusing ourselves. We have a standard within ourselves by which we make our assessment. Now, a Christian is a person that understands that to be the moral law of God that he has put within us. Last week I was watching this documentary called DIY SOS. It was an incredible program showing tremendous compassionate help to this family where this boy was in a young boy was in a wheelchair, and many tradesmen came and they all worked together, and you could see how the moral conscience of men and women were working together in kindness and compassion. And a Christian views this evidence of compassion and kindness and care as a sign of God's design, the moral law that God has put within a human being. But then a Christian views by faith the Word of God, the Bible. We believe it is viewed as God's main revelation of himself to us. And we believe it by faith. And then we believe by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, incarnate. That is what we're celebrating this evening. We believe that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's love to this world. And we look to him by faith and we trust in him as our Savior. And we believe by faith in God's dealings with us. By God's Holy Spirit, we experience a living relationship with God in praise and in prayer. We have spiritual blessing for the soul. We understand that it's God that provides for us in our providential blessings and needs. And so there are many ways in which a Christian can say, I know God for myself. And we have these areas in which we can resort to, but always by faith. But what can we know about what God did here in our reading in the incarnation of Christ? Well, all that we know about what God did in the incarnation is found for us in his word. That's our authority. That's our source of information, the Bible. And what God did here in the incarnation of Christ is summarized in this expression, God's good will toward men. God's good will towards men. Now, in the original Greek language, this word good will has at its heart the meaning of grace. Grace. Grace is God's favor, which is freely given to all those that come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we may describe this goodwill as God's gracious goodwill. God bestows his gracious goodwill to needy sinners through Christ. Now, this action of God in giving his only beloved Son to the world is absolutely amazing. For the Bible teaches us that this world was created by God and was perfect originally. In it, Adam and Eve lived perfectly in harmony and happiness, truly blessed of God, in perfect communion with God. But sadly, they rebelled from God, their Maker, and sin through Satan entered into the world and into their lives. And from this point in time, the world has been under the curse of sin and Satan. So when we look at things like disease and terror and war and death and suffering, decay and discontentment and war and all these types of unrest, we have to look at the fall of man. Well, knowing this fall, knowing this terrible development that's come into this world, God in his grace, in his goodwill, in his love, promised a Savior would come. Jesus Christ, he was to be the Messiah, the promised one. And in God's perfect time, Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, we read in the Word of God. He was born into a humble home, laying in a manger. And this is a picture for us of God's compassion. It's a picture of his great condescension. It's a picture of his love to a needy world in Christ Jesus. Well, that Jesus of Nazareth was born and lived and died on the cross is historically verified. The question is, who it is we believe Jesus of Nazareth really is? Christians believe that he is the Son of God made a man. But then the third question is, what can we know about what God did in Christ after the incarnation, after this wonderful event of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, again, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He obeyed this law of God in its entirety. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation, becoming a servant. He went willingly to the hill of Calvary to be crucified on behalf of all those who put their trust in him. There he was hung on the cross by evil men, but the mighty God overruled these evil deeds for good. And Jesus died as the perfect sacrifice and satisfied God's holy justice against sin. He bore the punishment instead of us. So it is that sinners who put their trust in Christ can have their sins forgiven in Christ. In their place and in their stead, Christ paid the price. He suffered instead. This is what happened after the incarnation. Not only this, that Christ rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death and hell. And now he ever lives to intercede in heaven for all those that come to God through him. This is our Savior. This is Jesus Christ. This is God's goodwill to mankind in the person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what can we know then about what God does in the here and the now? What God does in the here and the now? Well, the Bible tells us that God is eternal, he's holy, he's righteous, he's almighty in power. But the Bible also teaches us through this incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, about the goodwill of God. The great goodwill of God. Yes, he's almighty, he's holy, but he's also a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God who has a goodwill toward mankind. He desires good things to those that come to him in repentance, in the here and in the now, this evening. He desires good things for you. And in his good will, he freely gives by his grace, through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, salvation. That is the forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God, peace with God, in the here and in the now. This is a living message. This is the gospel for now, for 2014. He gives spiritual blessing and strength in the soul by his word and by his spirit now. He gives intercession. Christ, as our understanding high priest, speaks on our behalf in the here and in the now. This is God's goodwill. He answers prayer. Our Heavenly Father, through Christ, answers prayer. He leads and guides in the here and in the now. And then we have this word called sanctification. That means he molds and prepares his people, Christians who trust in him, in Christ, for heaven, to be with him ultimately in glory. And he's doing that in the here and the now. And we can know God for ourselves in Christ Jesus, in the here and in the now. This is a living belief. It's a living reality. Oh, finally, God does in the here and the now. He takes those believers that die believing in Jesus to heaven, to be with him there. This is the ultimate gift of God's grace, eternal peace in glory. So, what can we know then about God in the here and the now? Well, we've discussed how he reveals himself to us through creation, through his Son, Jesus Christ, through his word, the Bible, through his Holy Spirit working within us, and in prayer and in worship. Here is God's goodwill then toward mankind this evening. God's goodwill is an immense truth. Here is God's goodwill toward mankind. It's full of wonderful blessing. God's goodwill then is evidenced to those that trust in him in many ways. The incarnation of Jesus is the great evidence of God's goodwill in his condescension, in coming from heaven down to this earth and being laid in a manger. It's a picture for us of what God is prepared to do, to come from heaven in the person of his only beloved Son and humble himself to the extent of being laid in a manger. It's God saying to us this evening, this is how much I care. I'm willing to condescend to come right down to the lowest point in society. The life of Jesus Christ is the great evidence of God's goodwill in providing for us a perfect person to obey the law on our behalf, that his righteousness may become our righteousness as we believe in him. The healing ministry of Jesus Christ is the greatest evidence of God's goodwill in his power. The teaching of Jesus Christ is the greatest evidence of God's goodwill in the gospel message of hope. Oh, the gospel is God's good news for us. It's the goodwill of God to mankind. But if we really want to know the real heart of God's goodwill, to see it in its most amazing manifestation, we have to go to the cross at Calvary. Because there Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, is the greatest evidence of God's goodwill in his love to needy sinners. God said this in his word. In this was manifest the love of God to this world, that God sent his only beloved Son. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is another evidence of God's goodwill. He raised his Son again to life. The intercession of Jesus Christ is the great evidence of God's goodwill in his understanding toward us. Oh, friends, we have a merciful high priest in heaven who intercedes for us as we trust in him and pray to God in heaven. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be suffering this evening. You may be lonely. You may be down. You may be troubled. You may be in affliction's pathway. You may have different challenges to face in your life. In heaven, there's a Savior that understands. We read in the Word of God, He was in all points tempted like as we are, tested like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, all these wonderful truths are summarized in God's goodwill. God's goodwill toward a mankind. God can't do more than He's doing and what He's done and what He will do. He can't do more than give Himself, can He? And He's given Himself in the very person of Jesus Christ that our sins might be forgiven. And He can't give us more than heaven. Heaven is eternal peace and joy for all eternity. God couldn't have given us more in the person of Jesus Christ to rescue us from our sin. And He couldn't give us more in eternity in the future than heaven. God gives us all things richly to enjoy as we trust in Him. Oh, friends, don't have a distorted view of God. Don't be like those people that often answer my questions in that way. It's because our assessment of God is based on what we understand about God. And if we want to understand about God and know about God, we need to go to His Word and find out what God has revealed about Himself in His Word. And we read in His Word, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, finally this evening, I want to close with an illustration. And I think it's appropriate. There was a certain old recluse who lived deep in the mountains of Colorado, USA. And when he died, distant relatives came from the city to collect his valuables. And upon arriving, all they saw was an old shack with an outhouse beside it. And inside the shack, next to the fireplace, was an old cooking pot and his mining equipment. All very basic. There was a cracked table with a three-legged chair by a tiny window, a kerosene lamp, was on the centerpiece of the table. There was no electricity, no running water, no central heating, no mod cons. And in a dark corner of the room was a dilapidated bed with a worn mattress. Well, the relatives came in their pickup truck, and they picked up some of the old relics, and they very soon started to leave. Oh, they said, we've made all this journey just to pick up a load of old rubbish. Oh, well, they said, we'll just put it in the back of the truck and take it to the tip. And as they were leaving, a man came up to them and he said, this man that lived here was a friend of mine. Do you mind if I help myself to what's left in the cabin? Oh, go right ahead, they say. After all, they thought, what's left inside this shack can't be worth anything at all. And so the old friend, after they'd gone, he entered the shack and he walked directly over to the table. And he reached under the table and lifted one of the floorboards. And he took out all the gold that his friend had discovered and mined over the past 53 years. There was enough, as it were, even to build a palace. And this recluse died with only his true friend knowing what his true worth was. I'm thinking materially now. And as the friend looked out of the wilted window and he watched the cloud of dust of the relative's car disappear, he said, they should have got to know the old man better. They should have got to know him better. And I wonder, as we reflect this Christmas, do we really know the worth of Jesus? Do you know the worth of Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Or are you making your assessment of God? Are you making your assessment of the Lord Jesus based on a very limited understanding? I don't want to be impolite here, but we have to, we know, don't we? We make our assessments based on our understanding. And our understanding, our assessment is limited to our understanding. And the question is, do we understand enough about Jesus? Do we know Him? Or do we treat him as just an old relic of history? Perhaps we say, what's it really got to do with me? So we may drive away, walk away empty. And the question we have to ask ourselves, have we missed the gold? Are we like the friend that really knew the old man? Or will someone someday say to us, do you know what? You really should have got to know Jesus better. Well, there is a spiritual gold which is found believing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he is the great demonstration of God's goodwill to this world. And I plead with you to look to him this evening and see the wonderful manifestation in Jesus Christ of God's goodwill toward mankind, to those who will truly put their trust in him.